Daniel 3, verses 8 through 30. See, I got you, Noah. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Wait, okay, this is littler print for me. O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made. Very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And if he will rescue, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and said, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent, and the furnace so hot, that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, Certainly, O king. He said, Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched. There was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other God can save in this way. Then the king pronounced Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, promoted them in the province of Babylon. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Thanks, Eric. That's good. Good morning. Yes. All those children and anybody else that wants to leave, go to the nursery, okay? Well, it's great to have Jerry and Sue back. Yeah. And their beautiful daughter and her kids are there with them. Erica. Yeah. And I come here quite often, but I don't usually get to bring my girlfriend with me. So my wife of 44 years, Debbie, is right back here. Debbie. Well, what a treat to be with you. Every time I come here, I just feel like it's returning home. And everybody's been complaining about the heat this week. You know, gosh, it's 91 today. And Debbie and I from Washington, D.C., where when it's 91, you know, your shirt is just soaked at that point with 100% humidity. We're just loving it here, okay? We think this is just wonderful. But it's always a delight to be here. Somebody came up to me this morning and said, this is really an important time in the church, in our lives, and I hope that you have something this morning that's from the Lord. I would humbly tell you, I think I do. Praise the Lord. But before I jump into this, I want to ask if anybody here has knows what I mean when I say the 12th man. Anybody? Yeah, raise your hand if you know what the 12th man is. Okay, yeah. You know, we live in Washington, D.C., but we've got a couple of our sons out there and their families, and we, even though we moved 13 years ago, we are avid Seahawk fans, so it's really fun. Before the game starts, you know, you see the 12th man flag, and there's Jacob Green or Steve Largent or Jim Zorn or some hero from Dave Craig from the past, and they introduce him, and the crowd just roars, and they run that flag up there, and everybody just goes wild, you know. Jerry is a big fan. I'm trying to work with him in that area of his life. So about a month ago, I was up early and just reading the scripture, and I read the passage that was just read, and was deeply moved by it. But I was thinking about the 12th man, and the Lord whispered a word to me. He said, "Doug, what about the 4th man?" And Jerry and I, and Debbie, we had breakfast this morning earlier, and we're walking through some serious things in our lives. I'll bet a lot of you are. Some things that are important, that are sometimes scary. The other night I was awake half the night thinking and praying about some things that are going on with me. And so you look at this passage. What a wonderful passage. You know, these three guys, you never hear about them again. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or as my grandkids say, Shadrach, Meshach, and into bed we go. But these guys, I mean, I love this story. You know, there they are, and, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar, he's doing the thing he thinks is right, you know, and he gets these idols, and he's going to have everybody worship and bend their knee to the idol. And they find these three guys, and they won't do it. And I pick it up here. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and all kinds of music. Are you ready to fall down and worship the image that I made? Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it and will rescue us from your hand, O king. And even if he does not, we will not serve your gods or worship the image you have set up. Boy, that's boldness, isn't it? So what is the fire that we're facing right now? You know, what is it that is before us, whether it's monetary challenges, whether it's broken relationships, whether it's integrity issues? You know, what is that fire that's there? And I just, as I read this story a month ago, early in the morning in Washington, D.C., and I just got to that part where they threw him in, and isn't that interesting? The soldiers, the brightest and the best, the soldiers were killed by the furnace, which was heated 7 times as hot as normal. Boy, that's hot, isn't it? And they're thrown in, bound and gagged. And a moment later, Nebuchadnezzar looks, and what does he see? He sees 4 men walking around. He can't believe his eyes. You know, they're not burned. They're walking right through the hottest, 7 times heat, flames. And there's no more shackles on their arms and legs. They're not gagged and bound. They're walking around. And there's that 4th man. And I thought it was kind of humorous what Nebuchadnezzar's response was. See that 4th one? Is that a son of the gods? No. No, it's the Son of God. And that morning as I read that, and my eyes filled with tears, when I realized the most difficult times in our lives, the 4th man shows up. And he's there, walking right through that with us. Oh my. What a wonderful picture that is, isn't it? What an incredible gift that he shows up when times are good. We probably don't notice him as much then, do we? But you know, everybody's looking for him when the fire is there and when the heat gets turned up 7 times as much. Everybody's looking for him. And he is there, isn't he? With the young men I work with in Washington, D.C., we go through the principles of Jesus and the attributes of a disciple. And when they do, a person who makes disciples, the Great Commission, the last line of Matthew 28 is, "And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And I kid the guys, I say, "Boy, Shirley is really lucky, isn't she?" Surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What a great promise that is. And so this morning, I actually just want to take a moment here for each of us to pause and ask, Lord, what's the fire I'm walking through right now? And am I walking through it alone? And I'll give you the symptoms if you are. You're worried. You're angry. You're fearful. But you know, if the 4th man is walking with you, he dispels that anger, doesn't he? And that fear. Fear not. One of the most common phrases in the scripture. Fear not. Jesus said it. The angels said it. And worry. Those drift away as we see alongside of us walking the 4th man. So as I prayed and thought about this morning, I thought, you know, I want to give each of us a few moments to ponder that. And isn't it interesting that earlier in the service we were read Psalms 91? I was in fifth grade at University Presbyterian Church when I memorized Psalms 91. I don't know how old I was then, but that was a long, long time ago. I think about 65 years ago. And I have carried that with me the rest of my life. One of the lines I love is, "Under his wings, he'll protect you." You know, and just think of those pinions, those wings, those big wings. And we're under those and we're safe. We're protected by him. That's a wonderful psalm to read over and over again, Psalms 91. And I don't think it's an accident this morning, as some of us walk through the fire, that it's a reminder of the protection that he gives us. Under the shadow of the Most High, he protects us. So can we just take a moment this morning and each one of us, Lord Jesus, what is it that we are perhaps fearful, or worried, or angry about? Lord, what is it that we need to recognize the presence of the fourth man walking right alongside us in the midst of that fire? I want to read to you the Lord's words to each one of us, taken from the first seven verses of Isaiah chapter 43. "But now, this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned." Let me read that one more time. "When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." Amen. Isn't that a beautiful response? That's Jesus' words to us today. For whatever situation we're walking through that causes us worry or anger or fear, it was a comfort to me and a reminder that surely I am with you always. And that's for Shirley and all of her friends, okay? So I just felt like that was the word the Lord had for me to share this morning. And by the way, I'm talking to myself, okay? But I think I'm talking to a lot of you as well. Is his presence in the midst of the fire. And the fourth man, even better than the 12th man, okay? The fourth man walking right alongside of us. And nobody got burned. Nobody even smelled like smoke. Okay? I want to close this morning with a short little reading from St. Francis. It was 800 years ago. He wrote this, a letter to the rulers of the people, circa 1220 AD. But it's just as appropriate today as it was 800 years ago. For Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, isn't he? Keep a clear eye toward life's end. Do not forget your purpose and destiny as God's creature. What you are in his sight is what you are and nothing more. Do not let worldly cares and anxieties or the pressures of office blot out the divine life within you or the voice of God's Spirit guiding in your task of leading humanity to wholeness. Our word this morning about love and how much he loves us. What a great reminder. If you open yourself to God and his plan printed deeply in your hearts, God will open himself to you. Remember that when you leave this earth, you can take with you nothing that you have received, fading symbols of honor, trappings of power, but only what you have given, a full heart enriched by honest service, love, sacrifice, and courage. Embrace the God of us all in his word, wherever it surfaces. Imitate his preference for the poor and powerless. Enter into his plan of liberating all peoples from everything that oppresses them and obstructs their development as human beings. Do not grow tired of working for peace among all people. Help remove unjust social structures and patterns of exploitation. Uphold the rights and dignity of the human person. Foster the creation of a society where human life is cherished and where all the peoples of the planet can enjoy its gifts, which God created for all in a spirit of love and justice and equality. What a beautiful reminder to us of who we are in Jesus Christ, and that as we walk through the fire, we walk with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much personally for this word from you. Thank you so much for the picture of that fourth man walking through the flames with us. And we can't believe we're not getting burned. There's not even a smell of smoke. And we realize it's because of who's walking alongside us. This one that walks through the flames with us and carries us through with the love of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the fourth man today who lives within us, who gives us strength, who shows us his face in the midst of trials and temptations, struggles and failure. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for this fourth man, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.